Get ready for the Ocelli effect.
I'm a big fan of the show.
Chuck Ocelli, and he's been known for many years as the blind JFK researcher, specializing in intelligence agency involvement in multiple assassination, propaganda, and other global criminal operations in the 20th and 21st centuries.
Your listeners are extremely fortunate to have you, and everybody at AFR I know loves you, man.
We should learn from our relatively recent history, my brother. That's where I'm coming from. I say all power to the people.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, the alternative, Chuck Ocelli.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Porkins Policy Radio. I am your host, Pierce Redman. You are listening to this right now on American Freedom Radio, AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And we are joined in the second hour by our good friend, Robbie Martin. Hopefully Chuck Ocelli will be on the way. I think we had a few technical difficulties, but I think Chuck will pop in no time. But anyway, Robbie, we were talking in the first hour about the sort of cabinet that is surrounding Trump, and towards the end there, we started to kind of pick up on the fact that that the conspiracy community, the alternative media, they don't really seem to be focusing on all of these nut jobs surrounding Trump. But they're also, you know, again, having trouble differentiating between reality and fiction. And, you know, where is the alt media on a lot of this stuff? And it seems in large part that there are some things, I think, going on in the conspiracy culture that are distracting people and are kind of consuming people's time. And I think chief among them right now, and this might be, you know, controversial, so, you know, cover your ears if you don't like it, but I think that's what Pizzagate and the latest sort of iteration of that Twittergate is really all about. And I'm assuming everyone out there knows what Pizzagate is or what Twittergate is. You can look them up if you want to. This is the, you know, Pizzagate being the alleged child sex ring that John and Tony Podesta were running or are running, and it links with this place Comet Pizza. Twittergate is even more bizarre, and this deals with two anonymous Trump supporters on Twitter supposedly discovering all of these child porn Twitter accounts and then tweeting them out and tagging the FBI in them. And basically saying that this contains images of underage girls, you know, in, you know, pornographic images, and tweeting these out for the whole world to see. And we can get into that in a little bit. But I'll just state right now off the bat, I am not really convinced of Pizzagate. I think that James Alefantis is a creep. I think he posted some very questionable things on his Instagram. I think that some of the weird stuff around some of these other people is creepy, perhaps even questionable. But there seems to be a disconnect between what these people are alleging and actual fact and evidence behind a lot of this. And it seemed like it was overnight that these things completely just took storm in the alternative media. Became the fashionable story to talk about. Everything about it is now accepted as fact. And suddenly this great grand conspiracy is solved overnight. Now we know who all the pedophiles are. We know where they all go. We know all their pedophile lingo. And we can kind of defeat this. Now, and Robbie, you and I have both gotten a little bit of flack on this, on Twitter and other places, for questioning this. But my major reason for questioning this, beyond the fact that a lot of this is innuendo at best, there isn't necessarily any solid evidence. And I know people are going to say, oh, no, you just, you know, you haven't read the right Reddit post about it. But we should really be suspicious of the timing of this. This is very close to an upcoming deposition that convicted pedophile and good friend of Donald Trump, Jeffrey Epstein, is about to give in the Virginia Roberts or Virginia Guaffieri, it's her married name, In a defamation suit, she's suing Ghislaine Maxwell over. Epstein is going to give a sworn deposition sometime mid-December. He will name Donald Trump in this deposition. I don't think there's any way around him naming Donald Trump because Virginia Roberts came from Mar-a-Lago. So you've got the president of the United States about to be named in a deposition involving pedophilia. This is also, the timing is interesting because the woman who is alleging the rape lawsuit, that has been dropped. And I don't buy this. It was, she made it all up. There's no evidence that she made up anything. No evidence that any journalist has about this. She was intimidated. We do know that. And she's disappeared. So you've got these two things linking the president, president-elect, God Emperor Donald Trump, to pedophilia. And instead, the focus is exclusively on Pizzagate, Twittergate, the Podestas, the Clintons. And I'm not saying that they're not involved in that kind of stuff. But we need to be suspicious of the timing of this and the distraction that this has become for so many in the alternative media. Is this a way of conflating Trump WikiLeaks in some sort of fight against the New World Order? Apparently now WikiLeaks is no longer controlled opposition. We have no questions about the scruples of Julian Assange or whatever. He is apparently also a white knight along with Donald Trump. And I'm seeing right now that Chuck Ocelli, you've joined us. Is that right, Chuck?
Yes, I have. How you doing? Robbie, Pierce, it's great to be on with you guys. Here I am. What is it? Scumbags on the right of me, scumbags on the left, and here I am stuck in the middle with you. The whole thing is just remarkable to me. And, of course, isn't it fascinating that we're having to discuss this nonsense on November 22nd of all days? Which, by the way, I just exhaustively went over for some people in England. and they didn't like all the answers I gave them, I got to tell you. But the fact is that we find ourselves in a pretty precarious position at this point, don't we, Pierce?
Well, I absolutely. And, of course, anyone that is unaware, Chuck is, of course, referring to the November 22nd is, of course, when John F. Kennedy had his brains blown out in front of thousands of people. But it is a really precarious, dangerous position that we're in. And, I kind of want to open this up to you guys because, Robbie, you and I were talking late last night, and I was, like, really kind of losing it with this Pizzagate stuff, and particularly with the Twittergate, because then you had people openly tweeting what they purported to be child pornography on Twitter, and you had lots of people clicking on this and also tweeting it, and that really freaked me out. Now, I have not clicked on this stuff to see if it is authentic or not, and I discourage anybody listening to this to do not do that. You don't want to know if it's real or I mean, I don't. Maybe you do, but if it is real, you're not unseeing those images once they're there. But there is this, I think the larger thing, we need to be suspicious of this for a variety of reasons. Like I said, the timing and whatnot, but is there more to this? Is there a larger issue with why we're obsessed with this, why we are seemingly okay with this, why we're accepting all of this. Again, how do we know where these – we don't have no idea where these emails came from that are supposedly exposing Pizzagate. We now trust WikiLeaks? We now trust Julian Assange? I mean, maybe I'm the odd man out in this conversation, but, I always was suspicious of him, and particularly when he just basically released a bunch of, limited hangout-type material. But now suddenly he is some sort of a changed man all of a sudden, overnight. And well, the way – oh, you want to jump in, Robbie?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was in a little bit of a different boat where I never thought Assange was a white knight necessarily, but I always thought that he had, good intentions, I guess. And it really wasn't until he started tweeting out you know, I don't know if he's in charge of the Twitter account, but someone who was started tweeting out all these articles the weekend before Election Day, linking to Breitbart and places like the Gateway Pundit, you know, that I, especially the Gateway Pundit, has actually put out blatantly false stories before, to generate all this fear surrounding Muslims. But WikiLeaks actually tweeted to that spirit cooking story in the form of a We Are Change article written by someone named Cassandra Fairbanks, mm-hmm. who actually used to be involved with Brandon Darby, an FBI snitch who actually is a writer for Breitbart. So I thought that that was an odd – that to me seemed to kick off the entire Pizzagate thing in the sense that once you're getting all these Trump supporters and suspicious, cynical conspiracy people to believe that, you know, people surrounding Hillary Clinton might actually be Satan worshipers, it puts people in a more malleable state for the next wave of discovery, the Pizzagate phenomenon. And I think that that helped push people into this – almost borderline hysterical state where it's like, well, if the Clintons and the Podestas are, you know, going to satanic ritual exhibits and dinners, then it's not too far of a leap to think that they actually traffic children for sex. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, from my perspective, that's how it seemed to have evolved. But, you know, in general, I was just shocked seeing the WikiLeaks Twitter account pointing to these things. And I don't know what their strategy was for doing that, but it did seem to have kicked off what I would describe as a completely distractionary rabbit hole or wild goose chase into this weird, you know, elusive world of a supposed pedophile ring involving all these, you know, pretty much not officials, but high level people, powerful people, including James Alfontis himself is considered like the number 40th most powerful person in D.C. or something, according to
our
magazine list. So that's, but I haven't seen anything to me that amounts to fire, but I will agree that it is this Alfontis guy for running a children's ping pong pizza parlor, is putting out some awfully creepy, Instagram posts. You know, for someone who runs a business that caters to children, it is strange that he would, you know, have those kind of things on his Instagram. I think that that's, it, at the very least, it shows an extreme lack of self-awareness, but I can't say that that means he's a child sex trafficker. I mean, that's where the leap that everybody else is taking. But, you know, that's just my personal take on it.
Mm. No, I agree with you, and I would again, you know, hopefully I'll make this point a little bit later, but I think Alifontis's behavior is indicative of the well, maybe I'll just throw it out there. I think we need to draw a line in the sand in terms of how far are we willing to go into exploring this territory. Now, obviously, I've done a lot of stuff on Epstein, JonBenet Ramsey. I've, you know, looked into this, but we're getting to a point where now we've got people openly tweeting what they are alleging to be child pornography accounts on Twitter. Okay, we've got people, you know, doing these crazy their versions of investigations on Reddit and 4chan and places that are filled with creepy guys. Okay, are people getting off on this? That are looking into this? Are people exploring some dark fantasies by, you know, quote in their, you know, or in their attempt to expose this and whatnot? You know, are they enjoying this? Are they becoming, you know, titillated by pushing the boundaries of what's acceptable? And I think a larger issue here is the avoidance of what's the real issue. Pedophilia is happening all over, all the time. Okay. And it involves people that you know for the most part. Okay, the VIP pedophile rings exist, but they are a small fraction of the amount of children that are victimized on a daily basis by not strangers, but by family members, by teachers, by people you know. That's the real, and that's what's so bizarre to me is, again, it's this avoidance. It has to be this shadowy network of power elites, okay, and we have to expose them. And we're going to expose them by proliferating child pornography on Twitter. But they don't want to kind of take a step back and say, well, is the sexualization of children a real issue? Are people like James Alifantis, who has his weird Twitter, Instagram account, has very graphic, suggestive artwork up, is he perhaps not a pedophile, but, you know, is pushing the boundary of what's become acceptable? And as we've pushed that boundary more and more, are we kind of ignoring the fact that this is going on a much different scale? And I think that people are very quick to jump onto the, you know, it's the VIP pedophile. You know, only they could be guilty of this. It can't be my uncle. It can't be the neighbor next door. It can't be the teacher or the scientist or the Wall Street banker or the, you know, construction worker. They couldn't be doing that. It has to be this larger thing. And I don't know, Chuck, what, any thoughts on that? Or I heard you say to back there to something I said.
Well, you know what I find fascinating here is that a lot of people say, is it this or is it this? Is it this or is it this? Regarding the agenda for this kind of stuff. To me, it seems like the win-win-win-win-win-win-win scenario. Here you go. People that now are distributing this stuff are guilty of a crime, quite literally. The fact that this is being pushed as another boogeyman issue is also quite useful. Look, they can't sell us the Islamo-fascist boogeyman quickly enough. Mm-hmm. They can't do it well enough. So who works as a boogeyman? Well, according to many people in the public, quite honestly, the Clintons work as, you know, as the boogeyman right now. The fact is that these are all horrible human beings for one reason or another. I don't see it any differently than that. I think it was a lose-lose scenario when we had the choice between allegedly during the selection process, I say again. I think it was interesting that we had the lose-lose scenario. You know, I was like, you know, headline news, the rich white man comes into the White House. Okay. Big shocker. You know, and meanwhile, a guy who has dubious past, for sure. The Clintons, to me, are criminals. They absolutely are, for a lot of different reasons. Why not slap them with this particular paintbrush? Whether it's real or not, it'll be effective as a psychological operation to continue to prop up this boogie man, which was really a boogie woman, okay? And it works. It's very effective. Even though she is now allegedly not part of the equation, right? Even though she's at, so let's keep on with this stuff. It serves as a distraction. It serves as prurient appeal. It serves as a way to entrap individuals who really are damaged in some way that they would be titillated by this nonsense. All of the things that you're saying. Okay, this is why you heard me with the ums here and there, and I didn't mean to have that on.
No. I like that. Yeah.
But you heard that because I'm saying to myself, it's not this or this, it's all of it. You get it? And when we go back down and we take a look at the, you know, the efficacy of somebody like Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, all that, to me it was always questionable, Pierce. I don't see it as anything other than controlled opposition. The timing on many things that WikiLeaks is supposedly exposing is rather curious over the years. The narratives that are developed about Julian Assange in some circles, you know, Hillary Clinton was getting ready to assassinate Julian Assange. Okay, I'm not stating this as a fact for the listeners. I'm exacerbating, you know, I'm illustrating actually by exacerbating the statements that were given to me constantly that I needed to report on it because it was going to happen and that it even did happen at one point, according to some of the rumor mills among, well, let's call them alternative thinkers at the moment. The thing is that a lot of this stuff is designed to be nothing more than a weapon of mass distraction. That's it. Does it serve multiple purposes? Sure. Like I said, entrapment of individuals. Perfect. The fact that a platform like Twitter allows this stuff to be distributed but can shut you down for saying the wrong thing, you know, and seems to be on a campaign now to shut down what they believe are terrorist-linked Twitter accounts, and there's a whole facility of that going on where people are reporting, this is ISIS linked, shut it down. This one is, you know, whatever, satanic. I don't know. What is the boogeyman of the week? I forget. but it doesn't matter. The thing is that demonization is in full effect, whether it's real or it's not. Yes, indeed, there are VIP pedophile rings. Yes, indeed, there are pedophiles within a stone's throw from anybody listening to me, so long as you're not off-grid on your own acreage somewhere out in the middle of parts unknown. Okay? The fact is, if you're around people, these people are around. Is the sexualization of children something that I think is insidious and happening? Yes. Based on my own observations, it can't be happening the way it is. But this is my personal opinion, and we can debate about it and discuss it and the responsibilities of the media and so on and so forth. We can go through that. But all of this, I think, serves every one of those purposes that you're asking. Is it this or is it that? I think it actually serves it all, Pierce. That's why you were hearing me say, mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what Robbie thinks of what I'm saying here, because I didn't hear much of the conversation, and I'm sorry I joined a little late, but it, you know, as one of the most level-headed guys that I see out there, Robbie, you know, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm crazy and maybe I run my mouth and all that, but help me here. Help me. Am I crazy for thinking that it serves all of these purposes?
No, I think I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's Hillary Clinton was, you know, whether correctly or incorrectly, and I believe correctly, she was portrayed as a sort of a bogeyman during Trump's campaign. And I guess what I'm curious about now is, does this just serve, and I more lean towards agreeing with you, is does this just serve now as to continue that bogeyman effect while Trump is president, as almost like an avatar to deflect criticism from him? I mean, it could even be something that simple, but it does worry me, I guess. You know, it seems like it's more than just a boogeyman of the week kind of a thing, because I haven't seen a conspiracy organically form like this on the internet in a very long time and get to this hype. Now, I don't remember seeing Reddit investigations and 4chan investigations this detailed, even about 9/11 or you know, the Boston bombings. I don't remember seeing people glomming onto those things quite like this. And that's, I guess, what puts it in a slightly different category for me, is the hysteria that it's driving people into. Is it almost seems like it has the potential to be dangerous. And, you know, I don't want to fearmonger, but I mean, a guy just went in and did a streaming Periscope in Comet Ping, or was it Comet Pizza? And I guess after watching it, I was thinking, well, what happens when these people are driven into more of a hysterical state and they're sure that children are being locked up in some kind of dungeon under this pizza parlor? You know, how long is it going to take before someone goes in there and armed or something? And I guess maybe I'm being hyperbolic with that, but that seems like it's just completely off the rails, and it's just getting more and more amplified. And I barely had a chance to even check out the thing you were describing, Pierce, this Twittergate thing. But yeah, I mean, what you said, Chuck, I mean, if just clicking on or even loading up a page pointing to child porn accounts, you're one step away from being in a federal database with your digital fingerprints touching child pornography. That's one of the number one ways that people have been entrapped. Or, I mean, you know, that's all you have to do is have something in your web cache of child pornography, and you could go to jail for, you know, years. So,
go ahead, Robbie.
No, I was just going to say it's dangerous for multiple reasons. So it just seems outrageous to me. And even just a little I looked at that Twittergate thing, it appeared that a lot of them were linking to, like, accounts in Arabic, like almost implying that, and maybe I'm completely misreading this, but almost implying and bringing up that whole idea again that Muslims are all pedophiles or something like that. But that can be completely off base.
No, no, not at all, because then it becomes that Twitter is basically run by pedophiles.
Yeah.
Because they allow this. And of course, the Saudis own some large portion of Twitter. So of course, you know, they're into pedophilia too. You know, because they're the only ones capable of doing these heinous acts. And just sort of piggybacking on a couple things you just said there, Robbie. Again, too, these are the people that are so up in arms, you know, about the libtards getting them banned from Twitter, and yet you're going to get more than banned from Twitter if you're tweeting these alleged images. And again, also on the, you know, what happens when someone brings a gun into to come a pizza or goes on a vigilante rampage. If what is going on in Twittergate is at all real, okay, what happens when the a pedophile in question who has a kid, okay, panics because suddenly a bunch of internet sleuths are, tweeting about him or sending his stuff. He panics and a kid dies. Okay, now that is a horrible scenario and, you know, knock on wood, that will not happen. But this is now going beyond alternative media and investigating and stuff, and into a very scary realm, and into a realm that there's a rabbit hole you're not going to get out of. Okay, and just for anyone out there who is involved in that at all, there are better ways of exposing this. If you, God forbid, if you look at the account, okay, and you can figure out where the child is, contact the police department directly in that area, okay? Don't just tweet the account and tag the FBI in it, okay? The FBI Twitter account is not going to give a shit what's going on, mm-hmm. Okay? You can contact the FBI directly, okay? If you have, you can contact your own local police department, okay? They can legally look at this stuff. All right, and whatever you want to say about police, and I am no, you know, I don't like cops at all, but the cops that are, that work in that kind of realm are a different breed of person, okay? And they are prepared to actually have to live in that world, okay? And you're getting a lot of unhinged, paranoid people that are now diving into an even more unhinged, paranoid world. And like you said, Robbie, it's scary. There's like this I don't know, it's like chaos or something, you know, and
it's got
I don't know, it's got a
Salem witch trial.
Oh, well, now everyone is a pedophile. Everyone is a pedo, you know, because if you don't believe it, you're covering it up. You're a shill. They're going to start blaming everyone. It's like, do they not see that this is and it wouldn't take a lot of people, but you know, I think it's curious that it's mostly Trump supporters with the Pizzagate and definitely with Twittergate. We know, according to Roger Stone, he was in contact with Julian Assange. How do we know that pizza wasn't inserted into all of these emails? You know, how do we know where these emails even came from? We have no idea.
Here's another thing to remember, Pierce, that the fact is that and I'm going to say something again that I'm sure is not going to win me any popularity contests. The fact is that we see here the seizure upon people who are ill-informed, okay, to work in a force multiplier sense to create a mass narrative. This is what has happened. Because there are individuals who told me, you know, immediately, I met people for the first time, met them face-to-face after this selection was done, and they looked me straight in the face and thought that, you know, today was going to be a better day because Trump had already been elected. You know, that this idea that something changed, that this idea that we were finally going to address all those things that it was impolite and politically incorrect to talk about is going to actually happen. Okay, all of this kind of ill-informed nonsense, the guy doesn't even take his puppet post until the 21st of January. You know, and gee, it's all about, well, at least it wasn't her. At least it wasn't her. At least it wasn't her. But either way, I think we were screwed, and I'd be sitting here talking to you about Benghazi and arms deals and the intermingling of the State Department and the CIA today if it had gone the other way. Okay? I think we've entered a time, though, where it is convenient to keep people that are susceptible to hyperbolic emotional sentimentality, okay, to use them as a force multiplier to keep everybody occupied while the real magic is being conducted, okay, while the real shuffling of the cards happens, so that when they're dealt out later, everybody says, well, you know, this was going on and that was going on. We didn't see any of this stuff. That's the reality of it. And the fact is that it doesn't even mean that this could not have possibly happened. It doesn't mean that pedophile rings don't exist. It doesn't mean that there aren't people in control. There aren't people in high positions. There aren't people that are of great financial means that are not participating in this. But as, you know, as you guys have both pointed out, it's not just them. And this is a very intense subject. This is a very intense subject. Very prolific is this kind of behavior in society in general, honestly. And as despicable as it is, as disgusting as it is, as, you know, seemingly esoterically dark as it can get, this is part of the reality. But when you have people obsessing on it, I don't think it's doing anybody any good. And, you know, hey, what about the other side of the use of this kind of technology to distribute this information? Like you said, how about somebody's got a child and now they panic if they've actually struck upon the right information, because all it is part of a Twitter feed that somebody pays attention to because, oh, I don't know, I'm thinking that pedophiles might be reading the same thing that well, the people that are interested in tracking pedophiles might be reading. I don't know. The hashtags look sort of similar. Maybe it's just me. But all of these points, I think, are adequate to make at this time. We have to make these points, and we have to be very careful about the way we handle stuff like this, because the reality may not necessarily match what has been distributed on the social media or anywhere else. We have to be very careful. And it's a despicable, horrible subject that I don't like to touch it myself, but I will when it comes up. You know, we know about the Franklin cover-up. We know about various other rings. We know about nefarious things that have been done through facilities like the churches. We know that there's been schools that have become nests for this kind of stuff. We know it's part of the reality. And it's a despicable and ugly part of the reality. But I think that we need to handle this a little differently. And it's no surprise to me that, again, you have a force multiplier in the virtual world that is causing this to emerge as, well, its own narrative that I'm sure has actually festered way beyond the expectations of those who designed it. And I do believe it's been done by design, and that doesn't even require me to believe that it's real or that it's fictitious or that it's partially, you know, fabricated. It doesn't matter. The fact is that it's very convenient and very useful as a tool on multiple levels. And, you know, that's about all I can say to what you were saying. And, you know, again, Robbie, I'm very sure has more points to make about that.
Well, while you were talking, Chuck, I couldn't help but think of this emotion, or almost just more like a vibe, that feels like, in a lot of ways, we're being transported back to the 1980s. And there are just so many strange things that have happened in the past year. I mean, just even Trump's rise in and of itself, this celebrity that was, you know, mostly a household term in the 80s, that seems to have kind of almost gone off the radar as a popular celebrity in the late 90s and in the early 2000s. He comes back as a reality TV show host, and we have the Cold War sort of being escalated again. The rhetoric feels similar to the Ronald Reagan era. But there's something else from the 80s that I keep thinking about after this whole Pizzagate phenomenon is the whole satanic panic of the 1980s, and not just the satanic panic put out by people like Geraldo and various daytime TV talk show hosts, but also there was sort of a, I would say almost like a pedophile witch hunt that was a reoccurring thing that would happen in all these different areas around the country in the 1980s, where a town, say a small town, and I can't think of or cite specific examples, but this happened multiple times where, you know, a small town, maybe in a primarily Christian area, a prominent official would be outed as being a pedophile, but it was almost like as a form of cognitive dissonance in that town, sort of the whole population would suffer from a form of cognitive dissonance where they would start trying to project things, other evil onto what was happening, almost as a way to explain how someone that they had entrusted themselves to could be just simply a sex criminal and a pedophile by saying, well, this must have been some kind of ritual, or maybe there was Satanism involved. And then you would see this sort of hysteria building effect happening over and over again, where instead of just this man is a, you know, a criminal and a pervert and a pedophile, they would actually have to fantasize or create this false narrative around it to justify or explain what had happened to themselves, because it was such a shock to the community. And I feel like there's are definite flavors of that in the way that Pizzagate is building. It reminds me of an internet crowdsourced version of what had happened in a lot of these small towns in the United States, and mostly in the 80s. And my friend, same as Stephen Frenda, he actually specialized in the study of false memories and false confessions. And there is example after example of people who, because of sort of the societal hysteria of this satanic ritual abuse, they would actually confess things that they had never done, like sacrificing brand newborn infants at an altar in their basement, and then molesting their daughters and things like that. So you get into a whole bizarre world when you really start looking at all those cases. So that's just where my mind goes with all this, that it feels like a return to the 1980s in a strange way. But
well, Robbie, absolutely nail. You know, listen, hammer just meant head of nail, because that's exactly what I'm feeling here, and I remember that distinctly. The McMartin case comes to mind, of course. The whole thing that went on, the satanic panic, where people actually, one way or another, believe it or not, started to encourage adolescents to do these things, to leave the remnants of these things in different places, quite honestly, because of the publication, the assertion of these satanic cults and covens and all of these things being everywhere in the 1980s. I mean, we all probably remember, I don't know, you guys might not be as old as me exactly, but we might all remember Geraldo and his Satanism special, right? And the TV news actually take it up with the possibility of Satanists have broken into graveyards and grave robbing, and of course, pedophilia always followed. But even on the daytime talk shows, when they brought, I can't remember the guy's name directly right now, but one of these disciples of Anton LaVey onto the talk shows, it seemed like he made every one of them at one point or another. This guy's out there. The pedophilia always followed with the discussion, regardless of what you think of, you know, the psyop of the Temple of Set or whatever. The reality is that it fanned these dark fantasies, these dark paranoias that people are given to. And it actually created a situation where people were, you know, like I said, adolescent boys especially, were participating in things that were meant to look like satanic rituals, graffiti, leaving dead animals in places, all kinds of wild stuff. And I can speak to this firsthand because this was going on in a state called New Jersey where I lived. This kind of thing was happening, and we weren't even considered to be a hotbed for this sort of crap, and I was a kid in the 80s. So, yeah, it does taste exactly the same, Robbie. It does.
Something too is, and I just want to state this again, just because, you know, you do something that's quote unquote occult or satanic doesn't mean anything, okay? And you could have a pentagram on your shirt. It doesn't mean that you are, a satanic, you know, Illuminati witch who rapes children. That's just not real. And also on that same note is, you know, the occult is not, evil. Okay? That's not, you know, there is no, like, the occult. You know, there isn't, like, they don't all have, like, business cards or whatever.
No, occult simply means what's hidden. And here we go. I'm actually a pagan, folks. I'm not sacrificing children. I'm not praying to Satan. I do happen to have a pentacle around my neck as I speak. But that's the reality of it. What am I doing? Well, I'm getting in touch with nature, and I'm sorry. I believe that there is a hierarchy of gods as opposed to a singular. There's a singular source in the universe, and there you go. So now I'm evil too. That's all there is to it. That's my spiritual beliefs. I don't push them on too many people. I've had hundreds of conversations or hundreds of. Not hundreds. How about this? Tens of hours of conversations with Pierce, and I don't think at any point we even discussed religion. You know, and I didn't say, hey, Pierce, why don't you get together with me? We're going to do some dark sacrifices and all of this.
With the Podestas.
With the Podestas, and by the way, there's a pizza place right over here. No. I know I'm making jokes, but the reason why I'm doing it is to break the tension. I don't want to get anybody who's listening to this ramped up into a state of hysteria. Does it mean that there aren't horrible, inhumane, horrendous things that go on a daily basis? No. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's all tied to the satanic tree and everybody's a Satanist. It doesn't mean that. Are there a lot of them? Or are there a lot of evil people on the planet? Way too many for my taste. Go ahead.
No, I mean, again, you've got the predominantly, Christian conservative alt media section that's always going on about the satanic stuff and the occult. You know, you might want to take a minute, okay, and actually read the Bible, look at Christendom. It couldn't get more occult. All of those rituals, you know, but particularly the Catholic Church, but it's all occult, esoteric knowledge that's going on there. It's all symbology. None of that is as it seems. And in the same token, I think it's also again the avoidance of the fact that. This stuff is real, okay? It does go on, and it goes on in a much more normalized way than most people are willing to accept. So by saying, oh, well, this was satanic, you know, it was these crazy Satanists, occult, dark art worshiping pedophiles. They're the only ones that could do it, okay? Not my Catholic priest, you know, Father whatever, who I've known all my life. Little did they know it was, the good father that was actually abusing children. So it's, I think it's just like avoidance. It's like this innate fear and desire, again, to confront truth in any real way. So let's just tart it up in, you know, devil horns and Baphomet, you know, maybe throw on Moloch, and we'll just call it a night. I don't know. I wanted to get your take on this, too, because we're getting up towards the end here, but there also, to me, again, I said at the beginning of this, we need to draw a line in the sand. How far are we willing to go with this? I think for me myself, I don't want to really explore the Pizzagate, Twittergate stuff anymore. It is scary to me the level that this is sort of involving people, but I mean. What are your guys' take on this? And Robbie, maybe I'll start with you, but in terms of, you know, how do we confront that as an issue, that this now exists, that this is sort of taken a life of its own and seems to be being directed by a small group of people, whether that's intentional or unintentional, you know? But how do we kind of move on? Because it does look like this isn't necessarily going away in the way we want it to.
Well, I think – by doing exactly what we're doing right now is a really good way to do it. Simply because I think there's a tendency to just go along with this stuff and take it maybe more seriously than it should be taken. And I'm sure there'll be people who listen to this will say we're acting like debunkers or something, or we're not addressing all the evidence. You know, we didn't go through, you know, every little nook and cranny of Comet Pizza and all the pictures on the wall and try to debunk those. But just really quickly, I just wanted to mention a few more things that were key to getting this hysteria to this level. One of those things was the fact that Anthony Weiner did photograph himself with what appeared to be an erection near his son, and that got out. Now, that sort of didn't become part of Pizzagate until later, when none other than Blackwater founder Eric Prince went on a Breitbart radio show, I believe, and said that he has inside sources that the NYPD and FBI were ready to make arrests in the Anthony Weiner scandal, that it was somehow connected to the Hillary Clinton scandal. So I think that was another key element here to getting people in that world, the alternative media world, so for some reason they trusted the word of Eric Prince, to go down this rabbit hole, to think that somehow, you know, and let's be honest here, these people do appear to be really creepy. I mean, Anthony Weiner, there's absolutely no doubt that not only is he a sex addict and a creep, he might also be a pedophile.
Yeah.
I based on that picture alone, that is a very insane thing to do. Now, the other aspect here is Marina Abramović, who, if you put her in context, she's always been trying to get headlines. You know, it wasn't just spirit cooking or whatever that, you know, satanic ritualistic, you know, painting that she would do with blood. She also generated headlines by doing that sort of staring exhibit that Jay-Z later used in one of his videos, where, you know, there was this viral video of her alleged long-lost husband coming up during the exhibit and meeting her for the first time in 30 years to stare at her, and they both cried together. And I remember seeing the video circulating on Facebook as this heartwarming thing that you're supposed to cry when you watch. And to me, the whole thing just seems staged in order to generate headlines. So I think that John Podesta, it's clear that he is some kind of power-hungry creep who likes to operate in the shadows of D.C. rather than being a public figure. He does have paintings of cannibalism on his wall, and he said things like, it's better to be the man with the fork than the man on the table, and things like that. So he is one of these kind of shadowy figures who probably goes, you know, I think he actually does go to Bohemian Grove, and watches things like the cremation of care. These people get off on wanting people to think that they are dark and evil and capable of magical, you know, dark magical powers. I think that they get off on people thinking of them that way. But I don't think John Podesta ever was hoping that people would think he was in charge of a child sex trafficking ring involving a pizza parlor and all these different people.
Mm.
So, but that's where it's gone. And I'm just saying these things to try to put in context some of these things individually. And that, you know, Tony Podesta is a creep as well. He has taste in questionable art. He's into an artist that has done things that look borderline pedophilia, paintings of children, you know, hung up on walls and stuff like that. I'm not making excuses for any of that. I think these people are creepy people who get off on power and think that they're sophisticated by being into all these, you know, weird, shocking, edgy artists. You know, I put edgy in quotes. It's just kind of, to me, crappy, flaky modern art designed to bait rich people. So that's
absolutely. That's all Marina Abramović does, by the way. She's not into the occult. She's no concept of what the occult is, what the mystery schools are, what the pursuit of secret knowledge is about. And it's not all dark and satanic, but Marina Abramović wouldn't know the first thing about that. And quickly, before I throw it to you, Chuck, again, with the questionable art, you say, oh, this is all so terrible and stuff. You know, people, go out to any porn site right now, okay? You will find beyond questionable. You will find all these, quote, barely legal, you know? They're above age, or at least that's what their driver's license says, but they are made up to look like kids. This is a reality, okay? So it's not that weird that they might have bizarre paintings of kids in sort of stuff, because the general public that watches porn is aware that that's already out there. Okay. And that's become more and more and more and more normalized. And I don't want to get into the specifics of, you know, and shaving and all that kind of stuff, but believe me, that's out there, and that's something that you should keep in your mind when you're looking. And I'm not saying that that's good. I think it's very disturbing, but that is a reality that I think people need to kind of also confront in a larger, again, the sexualization of children, the what Steven Singular calls the culture of pornography in the U.S. But Chuck, I'm going to throw it to you for the last word on this. Anything you want to say to the listeners? Anything that they on this topic or more?
Well, you stole part of my thunder, because I want to remind people that one of the most common words used to tag pornography, and that is allegedly legitimate pornography at this point in time out there, is the word teen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
This is becoming acceptable. Am I saying that society is operating above boards when it comes to this stuff? Absolutely not. Am I saying that pedophiles don't exist and there aren't many a pedophile in a high place? Absolutely there are. Am I saying that the Clintons are not evil? Absolutely I am not, because I can't stand them and I can't stand the orange man either. Okay? That's just the way it is. I don't like the system. The system is broken. I think that the society is on its way to collapse, not just in a financial sense, but really in the sense of logic, sanity, decency, morality. And we need to question all of this. Not only the people that are, you know, portrayed as behaving in these dark corners, but the people that are right in front of you. It, you know, like you said, Pierce, somebody is tweeting stuff out, using an open forum to effectively distribute child pornography, or at least what they're alleging to be child pornography. Well, what is the justification for that? There you go. There is none. Okay, there is none. There's no justification for the exploitation of children. There's no justification for the exploitation of the stupid either. And we're watching both happen. So keep that in mind. It doesn't mean that it's not unreal. It just means that some of it is definitely being manufactured. And we got to figure out which parts. That's the way I see it.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Couldn't agree more with what both of you guys were saying. And again, just to, you know, a word to the wise, everyone out there. This might be, you know, the hot topic. It might be what's in vogue right now in the alternative media. That doesn't mean that you need to spend your whole life and every waking moment on Reddit, on 4chan, following, you know, the hashtags and following these certain accounts. You don't need to do that. It's okay if you want to, but I think there needs to be a shutoff. You know, there needs to be that moment of, okay, you know what? I'm going to turn this off. I'm going to do something else. I'm not going to obsess about this, because you're getting people who are, let's be honest, and I'd say that about myself too, not the most stable all the time, okay? I think nobody that gets into alternative media doesn't have a little bit of the paranoia in the back of their head. But that doesn't mean that you need to fuel it to dangerous levels, okay? And again, too, we're talking about, presumably here, you know, we're talking about kids being exploited. Let's have a little tact here, okay? You know, it doesn't – let's have a little respect for the gravity of the situation. Okay, I think that's the other thing that I want to just to everybody out there. Anyway, thank you both for joining me today. Quickly, Robbie, where can everyone go to hear your work?
You can follow me on Twitter at Fluorescent Gray. I do a podcast about once every 2 weeks, and you could check out a documentary film I made called A Very Heavy Agenda at averyheavyagenda.com.
Excellent. And Chuck, where can people go to listen to your work?
Well, 2 hours away from now, just about, I'll be live with the Ocelli Effect here on American Freedom Radio. And I do that 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Also, I have my own website, which is ocelli.com, O-C-H-E-L-L-I.com. And that's basically my base of operations. Of course, you can find me out there on social media, YouTube, whatever else. But that's where it's at. And thank you, Pierce, for involving me in this really despicable discussion that unfortunately we have to have. I'm sorry. Yeah. I always have to be a little ludicrous in my statements. It's just if we're not going to have fun with the ugly, then why do it at all?
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, thank you, Robbie. Thank you, Chuck, for joining me today. Of course, you can find all of my work at PorkinsPolicyReview.com, and I will be talking to you all next week.
Members of Ocelli.com receive uncut versions of the Ocelli Effect radio show, music unavailable anywhere else on the web, and exclusive downloadable content that you can take with you anywhere. For as little as $6.99 per month American, you can support honest media like Ocelli.com. Videos, physical swag, and other features pending. Restrictions only apply if you allow your mind to be closed.
Okay, can we get quiet, please? Everybody sit down. Young man in the front row, spit that gum out. Thank you. Cherry flavor. And now the moment we've been waiting for. The man whom we all know and have grown to love over the years. Who won the Nobel Peace Prize for making the largest flavored Jell-O shooter that the world has ever seen. And a great man of science who proved to us once and for all that no matter how much cherry-flavored Jell-O you put in your swimming pool, you still can't walk on water. I give to you, Chuck O'Kelly!
Okay, can you hear me? Okay, listen, I think we're back, but... I know at least the second hour, guys, I'm going to be able to hear my guest talk because we just did a sound check, and Chuck is loud and clear. That first hour was a bit of a disaster, and I apologize for that. We're going to get the doctor back here very quickly, and we'll make sure that our audio connection is proper when we do get him back. But anyways, my second hour, man, I've got one of my favorite people in the whole world joining me. That, of course, is Chuck O'Kelly from the O'Kelly Effect. To say that we've had many, many great conversations would be an understatement, and one of the gentlemen in this world that I truly have a great deal of respect for his research and his insight to what's going on inside our coffers of our governments. Anyways, Chuck, thanks for joining me, buddy, and what's on your mind tonight, buddy? Let's we're going to go into Trump, so let's get right into Trump, and welcome
to Joe. Let's get right into Trump, he says. Oh, okay. You know, we have had a lot of interesting conversations, Barry, that's for sure. We have covered many things on both your show, mine, roundtable shows. We've been all over the place. We've been on with Terry Joyce. You know, a lot of different people have gotten to hear you and I go back and forth. But isn't it fascinating how things seem to change? You know, behind the scenes, you had a little trouble with your electronics during the first hour, but it wasn't really your fault. The fact is, this kind of thing happens from time to time. Mm-hmm. So let's nobody be mad at Barry for all that, okay? and I just finished my show, right? And I would have joined you in the first hour if I could have, but I was live doing my thing. So, you know, I can't be in two places at once, at least not yet. I'm working on it.
Working on it, okay.
I make a lot of snide remarks, Barry. You know that, and I say some things that seem to upset people from time to time. But, you know, they take them, they digest them, and after a while, sometimes they realize I wasn't trying to poison them. I was just trying to educate them. Now, when it comes to the Trumpster here, you know, which I identified as a dumpster fire. For those who are not familiar with that particular terminology, I've been identifying it as a dumpster fire in my little blurbs for my show and everything else the whole time this guy's candidacy was out there. Because I don't feel hopeful that this is an individual ready who will represent we the people. Isn't that, at the end of the day, what these guys are supposed to be doing? These amazing politicians, these wonderful people that are our leaders. Well, they might be your leaders, but they're not leading me anywhere. That's the reality of it. And, hey, we didn't even get into the specifics of this guy outside of one little name I called him. It's fascinating to me, though, that people who very recently were stating that the two-party system is really a one-party system in this country, that we're looking at the left and the right wing being part of the same animal. Yes, indeed, if a bird has a left and a right wing, there is a body as well. And usually when you're talking about the left and the right wing, they're in juxtaposition to one another, but they are part of the same creature. Absolutely. It's interesting that a lot of people who thought that that was a rigged deck, if you will, in the casino, that believed that this didn't represent them, have all of a sudden decided that the revolutionary figure, you know, this time around, was not Ron Paul, was not Barack Obama, who was going to bring us hope and change. That's right, I'm hitting both ends of the spectrum here. Was not Ross Perot, who might give us an alternative. Was not any of these people historically that we could look at that were supposed to be, okay, a difference in the choice selection from the menu. No. That Donald Trump is the guy who's going to change America. For the better, in fact. I find that an interesting assumption among people who thought the whole system was rigged to begin with. And it's prevalent still. However, a couple of people recently, and I mean in recent days, who were rather enraged at me for saying this, who were upset, saying that, oh, you must be supporting, you know, Clinton if you think that Trump is a bad guy and all this other stuff, coming at me from all different angles, angrily, upset, even saying that I'm probably going to be sued for some of the things I've said, Barry, don't worry, I won't do it on your show. but even you know, you're going to be sued, you're going to be handled, you know, you're going to wind up, I mean, almost wishing for me to wind up in a FEMA camp for being a guy who runs his mouth the wrong way in a country where we allegedly have free speech. Sorry, I don't really want to support that idea, even if that would make you happy, since I'm so anti-Trump. The fact is, the system won. The system itself won. As far as I'm concerned, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm crazy, but I have a right to say it, and I'm under attack for it. Now, in recent days, some people are coming to me and saying, we're watching what's happening. This almost chaotic, I wish it was chaos, but it's just completely incoherent grouping of individuals that are becoming involved in the administrative circles just during the transition time, because, folks, he hasn't taken power yet. That doesn't happen until January 21st. But just during this time period of transition, people are looking at who is being brought in, who's being brought out, who's being ejected, who is being refused, who is being tested for their loyalty. And they're wondering, in truth, what the hell is really going on?
Mm-hmm.
So it's incoherent. It's inconsistent. It's very strange, and it doesn't quite look like the hope and change that you just had repackaged and sold to you, disgruntled group of people, does it? I'm sorry, Barry, but...
Well, you know what, Chuck? I have to agree with some of the things you just said, because I've kind of been looking at Trump here in the last 3-4 days and some of the people he's appointed, especially this new director of the CIA, and I kind of did a quick look into the background of this person. I can't even think of the person's name right now. I'm bad at that, Chuck. But anyways, really, this guy has had no experience with intelligence yet. He's been appointed head of the CIA. That kind of made me go, what the heck's going on here? Now we've also heard Trump say that, you know, during his election promises, he was going to completely get rid of Obamacare. And now we hear he's going to make revisions to it and eliminate parts of it. I know he made that statement. The guy seemed to be backpedaling quite a bit. And this is only, what, 3 weeks after he was elected, Chuck? Not even. So I'm kind of sitting back going, boy, have we all really had the wool pull over our eyes? Because, you know, the first couple of weeks he talked on national TV and his rallies, you know, I'm listening to what the guy's saying, the way he's exposing the corruption in media, the way he's exposing the corruption in government. Well, this could all be part of the big charade, Chuck. And the more I look at it, the more I tend to believe that, buddy. I really do.
Well, I believe it's funny.
He had a big wolf in sheep's clothing.
It's funny because now you took – now look, I'm going to do this.
Oh,
you know I've spoken to you privately and said these kind of things.
I owe you a bottle of whiskey. Yes, go ahead.
That's okay. It's about to happen that people are going to understand what I've been saying all along, which is this. Barry, you heard those wonderful sentiments, and yes, indeed, he did say those things, but you didn't listen to everything he was saying. actually, this guy told us a lot of what is happening, what we're seeing emerge here. Okay, the press is corrupt. They're crooked, like Hillary's crooked. Okay, listen, Hillary is crooked. Fine. You can mix in the truth all you like, and the media is crooked, that's for sure. But that crooked media gave him the best PR ever by selling him as the bad guy 22 out of 24 hours a day during many news cycles. Okay, one thing. Next thing is the crooked media. Okay, he is also saying stuff like, oh, journalists, you know, journalists who have said negative things about him need to be dealt with, and he's going to deal with them. Now, that should send a cold chill right down the spine of somebody like you, but I bet you don't recall him saying stuff like that, do you?
No, I don't, Chuck.
It's selective memory. See? Selective memory. Okay, well maybe that's just one point. All right, maybe he had a little bit of a – but what did you say? Oh, the lobbyists, right? He's going to deal with the lobbyists, and he's going to deal with the insiders. Who is he bringing in his transition team? Lobbyists and insiders. Okay, something's wrong with that equation, and who knows what kind of havoc will be wreaked that way. We also have an NSA director coming in, you know, who is this general. As part of the team, you're trying to figure out why this active duty general is being brought in as part of a team that has nothing to do with the military specifically, well, to its point of being a military portion of transition. Then he casts him out, and we find out that that there are people in the Joint Chiefs of Staff that want this guy fired. Obama probably wants him gone. They're calling him incompetent. And meanwhile, this guy's in and out the revolving door. You have the speculation about guys like Rudy Giuliani, for God's sake. Okay,
yeah, there's a work of art.
All right. And other people have already come in and out of that door. What I see here, if you take a look at it objectively, is really a rudderless situation. This guy does not really know what he is doing. And that means he's going to need advisors. And who is going to creep up into those advisory positions? Well, somebody from the establishment. You know, and by the way, I love his Twitter status today. Did you happen to see that?
No, I didn't.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to all, even the haters and the losers. Yeah, I love that. That's awfully presidential and diplomatic. I don't know. but I love it because this is the guy we can follow on Twitter, and he is entertaining. But, you know, at what cost? That's what my question is. When we look at the concept of foreign policy, which I was just discussing with Michael Swanson on my show, talk about rudderless. You know, here's the problem. He has no idea what to do with foreign policy people because he has a rule about who he's going to hire, right? Anybody who has been critical of him cannot be hired. The fact is most of the collective brain trust of eligible people for foreign policy advisory positions spoke out against this guy, right? Yep, left wing, yep. Centrist, libertarian. So who's he going to get for foreign policy, I wonder? And he's going to need a little help with foreign policy since it's interesting we have a president that's actually going to go into office still in debt to the Chinese, still in debt to the Germans.
I looked into that. That's quite interesting, isn't it, Chuck? Go ahead.
But meanwhile, while his hotel opens up just down the street from the White House, which I wonder where foreign diplomats who are visiting the White House are going to stay when they go to the District of Semiramis, I find this whole thing laughable that anybody believes that this has been helpful to we the people or will be. Now look, I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to be wrong, but, you know, watch and learn is all I could say.
Good. Yeah, I wish you were wrong too, Chuck, but the more I sit back and I really assess this whole situation, it stinks to high heaven to me, and I think a lot of American people have had the wool pulled over their eyes again, just like in 1908 when, like you said, we were promised change. Well, we didn't get a lot of change, did we, at all? It's just business as usual. And I'm kind of going, well, you know, I hate to admit it, but I think Chuck was right a couple weeks ago, and I really hate to say that because I hate it when you're right, Chuck, but I have really kind of set back and look at what Trump is, and, you know, buddy, I agree with you. I think he's just another member of the establishment that's playing a role right now, and this role was thought out for hours in think tanks by these people behind closed doors. They know how the public can react, and they're going to have the solution for it, aren't they?
Well, isn't that the case always, Barry?
Always, Chuck. Yeah.
You know, because
problem with action, solution.
Yeah, and in truth, look, there are financial elites in this country, in this world. Forget about this country, but there are financial elites in this world that are effectively playing in a large casino 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And yes, there are rises and falls. There are various tides that happen in the financial markets, blah, 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 blah. But there are individuals who really run the show. And it seems to me as though just a slightly different set of elites have now been allowed to sit at the VIP table. That's all that's happened in the casino. And it's not as though the casino is going to be shut down, which Trump should know a little something about. It's not as though the casino is failing, because Trump should know something about that as well. It's not as though the real estate has changed. It's not as though the real owners of the casino have actually changed hands. It's just the players. Okay, and it's just
these
the
same
public
players
face
that just put the Dow Jones. Yeah, these are the same players that just put the Dow Jones to an all-time high today. Those same players.
Yeah, take a look at the specific segments in the Dow Jones and the S&P 500 that went up. Rather curious.
Yep.
You don't see the typical stuff, the day trading stuff, the stuff that, oh, you know, you and me, the common filthy masses, could get our hands on to try and profit from the market. You know, the simple bets like on Apple and things like that. Gee, that's not the things that are going up in trajectory. What do we
right
see? Some rather interesting, really industrialist-based bets are highly active, and it's dragged the Dow Jones up. And we saw that not just today, Barry, but, you know, the whole dive that the Dow Jones took on the overnight post-election result announcement.
Right.
It took a serious dive. The rebound, the rapid rebound the next day was exactly these segments. And you know what? They're still betting. They're still at the VIP table, right? They're still doing it right now as we speak. So where is the change, I ask again?
How do I get a seat at this VIP table, Chuck? I'd like to see what's going on there. Can you get me an invite?
I wish I could, Barry. You know, the day before Thanksgiving, I can't even buy a turkey, baby. But these people can buy and sell us, right? That's the truth of it. Okay.
Yes.
The chips.
But
see, I talked about the players at the casino, but let's not forget what the chips are. The chips all have serial numbers on them, and you know, they're all serial numbers based on our straw man existence. Hello.
Yeah.
Welcome to reality. Okay. Is that too much, Barry? Am I being too aggressive on your show? I'm sorry. I know I'm running my mouth, but it's just so frustrating that I really do, and I said this several times with J.P. Satilli the other night. You know, I really do feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone episode where that one guy is running around with a book that says, you know, it's a cookbook. I really feel like I'm that guy right now in alternative media circles. I do believe some people are getting it now, because very quietly, very privately, I know you just admitted it, but the fact is you're not the only one who's come to me and said it. Now, very quietly, not necessarily on their own shows, their own blogs, their own websites, they haven't really belted it out yet, but a couple of people kind of came to me and said, you know, I'm sorry I was being a little rough on you, because this looks like what you were saying. So,
Well, you know, Chuck, I was quite honest with you, buddy, there about 2 months ago when I was listening to him talk, I was saying to myself, this guy is exposing stuff that normally doesn't get exposed by politicians. But then when I really look at the big picture, I am now kind of believing that this is all part of a charade. I've really kind of leaned that way in the last 3 or 4 days with some of the appointments and some of the things I've seen happen at Trump Tower, because I have been following it. And some of the individuals that you talked about, I've been looking into them. And you know what? I think we've been duped again. So to say that you're right, Chuck, I would have to admit that I'm kind of tending to agree with you. So how does that make you feel? You're right for once.
Yeah, well, you know, once in a while, you know, look, broken clock, right? And of course, we're always being asked about, is martial law coming and things like that, especially given the climate with the protests, which I got to be honest with you once again, not really all that frightening to me that these protests are happening. In some cases, you know, one could say, again, objectively, that that some of it is justified because, once again, we have somebody not winning the popular vote, according to most reports I've read, who has been given a position. But at the same time, we also know that there are other people that fund these things. We know that these types of things are often encouraged among the population in order to justify certain things. Reality is this. In the artist formerly known as America, thusly the formerly United, currently occupied states, you know, we have been under a state of martial law, literally speaking, since the middle 1800s. It incrementally is being introduced, and the crackdowns and, you know, all of our fun things that we like to point to, like the NDAA, the Patriot Act 1 and 2, and et cetera, et cetera. All of this stuff is there to incrementally clamp down on us, true, but it's funny because we're still talking about martial law. They were talking about it during Jade Helm. Everybody was panicking and thinking that everybody's going to the FEMA camps now. I reserve the right to panic until it's actually time to panic, first of all. Second of all, I don't think it would be very good for business, Barry, if they started clamping down on us with a really militaristic martial law that was completely obvious. Why not? It's so much more beneficial to incrementally enslave us and kill us. I mean, after all, the long game is so much better for those that are playing at the casino, because what else are they going to do if they really clamp down on us? So I don't think that martial law is on its way in the way that people talk about it. Of course, remembering again that we still live in a land where the military flag, the horizontal stripes and the blue field on the American flag, that's a military configuration. The civil flag, if you want to see it, it's out there, but it's not legal to fly. The civil flag of this country is not being represented right now because we are under militaristic control. Now, I know that that sounds like a strange leap, but it's a reality. I mean, enter the word civil American flag into a search engine, or you can go to my website and it rotates around, and occasionally there's no Chili Effect logo on a strange thing that vaguely resembles the American flag you're used to seeing, but it's not. It's the civil flag, folks. Anyway, we got to understand the reality that we're in, and the reality we're in is that the controllers have not relinquished the reins in any way, shape, or form. This has not been the people speaking. The selection process did not allow us, we the people, to vote, okay, and therefore have an election happen, because technically speaking, believe it or not, voting in a national election is an act of subversion against the sovereign state in which you live in America, but don't believe me, do your own research. Anyway, all of that is quite irrelevant. The fact is we have a great many problems, and some of them might be exacerbated by the regime change we see right now. Some of them might be accelerated. I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns here. But let's understand the situation that we currently live in first. Right, which is that it didn't improve our jobs, and neither is this guy going to improve our jobs. Even building that wall you know, allegedly, which I love the comment in the in a chat box earlier. Somebody said, I think the Canadians need to start building their own wall, which I immediately thought of you, Barry. I would suggest you guys do. Finally decouple yourselves from the chaos that I think is yet to come in this country. It may be social upheaval, it may be financial chaos, but we're definitely on our way to it one way or another. I still say, though, I reserve the right to panic until the time is appropriate. So I don't know what you have to say about that, Barry, but that's how I view it anyway. Oh, have we lost Barry? He fell asleep.
Okay,
he fell asleep. There we go.
Hey, I'm back. I hit the mute button there for a minute because there was noise in some background here. So, yeah, that was quite a mouthful, Chuck. I don't know where to go with that one. Holy smokes. But you're right. It seems like everything they do in our world is done very slowly and incrementally. You know, we talk about GMOs, we talk about vaccines, we talk about chemicals in our air, we talk about all the attacks we see on the human race, and they're all being done very slowly so that society doesn't recognize what's going on. It's just like you said, we're under a state of martial law. They're bringing in rules and regulations almost daily to restrict freedoms of the American people under the guise of security, and the American people don't recognize it for what it is. So they're very deceptive at what they do, Chuck. And, of course, you've got the mainstream media propagating everything they do. So, yeah, what's coming? I believe there is chaos coming in America. We don't know what it is, Chuck, but I agree with you. There is chaos coming. And we have actually been petitioning the Canadian government here to start building our wall. I don't know if Trudeau is going to listen to us or not. He's too busy sending money overseas to his terrorist organization. Get a load of this, Chuck. Our prime minister, in his wisdom, just sent $25 million of our taxpayers' money to an organization in the Mideast that has undeniable, unreputable ties to Hamas and ISIS. Now, why would you want to support an organization that has these ties? We have Canadians that are out of work. We have a prime minister that's sending millions and millions and millions of our dollars overseas to an organization, like I said, that has direct ties to real hardcore terrorist organization. What the heck's going on with that, buddy? Well, it's all part of the same agenda that I see unfolding. I mean, we know that Barack Obama is a Muslim, and that is a fact because his father was a Muslim, Chuck, and under Sharia law, that makes Barack Obama a Muslim, whether he'll admit it or not. So what have you had for the last 8 years? You've had a Muslim running your country. We have a guy sitting there that, you know, I've looked into his birth certificate for hours. I've listened to Cheryl Papayo, and I've listened to all the investigations. I've looked at the forms myself. I went and did some real hard looking into his form. And as far as I'm concerned, Chuck, it's a complete forgery. So here you have a guy that's posing as your president for the last year, 8 years, that I believe is not an American citizen. Well, how easy is it to deceive people, Chuck? It just blows my mind. I know you've looked into his birth certificate. What do you think about that?
Well, you know what I come down to with that is this. There is almost no relevancy to it because it's all a fraud anyway. The idea that the presidency really holds any real power, I think the last guy to do that was publicly executed on November 22nd, 1963. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. So guess what? The rest of it has been a stage show. That's what's gone on. Yes, there have been changes during certain regimes and things like that. But once again, you know, different elites get to sit at the VIP table. What they're difference to make when it comes down to the equation of, you know, the boogeyman that Barack Obama was supposed to be. Well, you know what, the country's still standing. We're not under Sharia law, and regardless of what you think of the guy, he actually only did what? Continue the Bush agenda, in my estimation, when it comes to foreign policy, when it comes to the military, added to it, you know, extrajudicial executions and things like this via drone strikes. Really, he's been a very good boy for those that wanted the neocon agenda, the project for the new American century to come to fruition. I think he's done an excellent job for them. you know, while posing as a social democrat and absolutely served the corporatist masters exactly like any good white man would have done anyway. Because you know what? The Affordable Care Act, which is unaffordable, by the way, that's the proper name for the Obamacare thing. The deal with that is that was written by the insurance companies. That is benefiting them just fine. It's not helping we the people again. See, it all comes down to the same narrative. And I don't care if these guys are worshiping potatoes at this point. They need to serve our interests if there are alleged representatives. But no, the majority of the American population forgets that we the people are really supposed to be in control. We are at the top of the power food chain in this country. That's the reality that everybody's forgotten conveniently, and we've been programmed to not remember. We've been programmed with this amnesia over our right. Now, what is our right? Our right as human beings, and I don't care where you're sitting, our right as human beings to self-determination, to our own freedoms and all of that, this was granted to us not by a government, not by a group of revolutionaries, not by any of that, but by virtue of our creation. I'm not going to argue with God you worship with you. I'm going to tell you this. If you think it was a committee of gods who created you, fine. If you think it was a singular one-power God and you have his name, fine. If you think that it's just your parents that brought you into existence, by virtue of your creation as a living, breathing man or woman on this planet, you have the right to these things. That's the reality, and the rest of it is just them manipulating the illusion to have you believe something other than. Okay?
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, Chuck.
So when it comes down to digging into one particular background, yeah, okay, fine. That ridiculous nonsense of that birth certificate was clearly fraudulent. Was he born in Hawaii? Was he born in Kenya? Is he really who he says he is? Is, you know, all of it's irrelevant. Because the fact is that is just there to give people the illusion that they selected a representative themselves. But, you know, it's funny because there's people that are electors that seem to elect people. I don't hear the word vote in there. We forget about that as well, don't we? You know, your votes, your vote, your sentiment, allowing sentimentality to drive us. I'm good. I'm done. It's not about that anymore. It's about getting back to who it is we were intended to be by our design. Again, don't care who you think the designer was. This is what we're entitled to as living, breathing human beings. Bottom line. So that's where I cut to all that stuff. We could go into the evils and the strangeness and, hey, look, you know, the first Bush administration is connected to call boy rings. We could go into the delusion of the Reagan era where people think this was a great president, even though the importation of drugs was extremely accelerated and the cocaine trade was quite refined by our intelligence complex. We could go into the ineptness of Carter, even though he tried to challenge the CIA. The guy before that, well, that was a guy named Ford who was not elected to be vice president or president. We can keep going backwards, backwards, backwards throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about the fraud all the way back. And you know what? Even the guy who I said had some semblance of power, John F. Kennedy, was also entrapped by the powers that actually be. Okay, this is why his head had to be blown off in public to make an example of him. And then, you know, the next guy that challenges the intelligence community, by the way, is a guy named Nixon, who they removed. Well, they couldn't quite put a bullet in him. They'd done so much of that. In the 60s, it would have been too obvious. Mm-hmm. So it was time to remove a guy another way. And I'm telling you right now, all these guys are controlled. I love Bill Hicks' version of this. Doesn't matter who they elect because, hey, the second they get in, they go into a boardroom with a bunch of cigar-smoking scum, and they pull down a movie screen and show them an angle of the Zapruder film, you know, from a slightly different perspective than they're used to seeing. And then they stop the movie and say, any questions?
Any questions, yeah.
The guy answers, yes, what's my agenda? I think that Bill Hicks put that sucker to rest for everybody. That's the way you need to understand this anyhow. you know, in our lifetime anyway, Barry. Maybe it was different before you and I were born, but I think that that this is the way to view it. And I'm a little younger than you, so I never even saw the possibility that the world was any different being born in 1972. But here it is, here we are, and let's be realistic about it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, and you know, Chuck, this has been going on for a long, long time. The things we see going on in our society, these didn't come overnight. These have been going on for many, many years. The bloodlines of the Illuminati. I mean, boy, you start going in the internet and searching the bloodlines and how far back the Illuminati goes and when they started, when the Federal Reserve was taken over by offshore interests and acceleration of their events. Well, that's kind of got us to where we are today. I think this has been planned out for many, many years. Everything we see right now seems to be coming to a pinnacle. And, you know, we could see a lot of chaos on the planet in the next couple of years. Exactly what's going to happen, neither one of us know, but we both sense a lot of chaos coming. So all we can do is kind of prepare people in the best way we can, and that's tell people to prepare themselves, man. Because, you know, really when it comes down to it, Chuck, if the poop ever does hit the fan, your best friend's going to be your neighbor. And how many people out there right now can say they even know their neighbor? Well, it's one of the things that's been taken out of our society, and I kind of urge people to get to know their neighbors because, they, like I said, could be your best friend in the near future.
Well, right. Again, getting back to the human beings that we are, we're psychosocial creatures. We are designed to be interactive with one another. We're designed to collectively come up with solutions. Now, hold on. Let's not think I'm a collectivist exactly. I'm just saying that we are designed to work together, okay? Mm-hmm. And dealing in only the surrogate reality and all of that is not going to be helpful to people. They need to get back to, yes, knowing their neighbors, knowing the situation around them, dealing with things on a local level, dealing with things themselves. And who knows, you know, if like I said the other night when I was talking to Brian about the these different intentional communities, maybe he's got a solution there. And maybe these other people that are doing the work right now have a solution in hand, which could be independent based on mutually understood, right? The way we used to live, mutually understood, smaller communities coming together under similar value systems. Right. And dealing with things in that way, instead of relying on these massive bureaucracies and all of these illusions and stage shows that are meant to create the illusion once again that you have a say in the casino, right?
Exactly. Well, exactly. You know, Chuck, if you look at history, you know, 100 years ago, communities were based on friends helping friends and neighbors supporting neighbors and the community working within itself. And what I see they've done in the last 30, 40 years is implemented lots of things in society that have taken us away from communicating with each other and turned us into self-centered people. And that's like how I see it. You know, we used to communicate when I was a child. I've said this many times. In Toronto, I was living in downtown Toronto. Now, downtown Toronto now is a dangerous place to live. But when I was a kid growing up, I was in the very core of the city, and I knew every neighbor for three blocks around my house. My parents knew every neighbor three blocks around my house. I could go three blocks away. They could make a phone call, and they could find me. But everybody there kind of looked out for everybody else. You don't see that in our society anymore, Chuck. And that is something that I think we really, like you said, these a community that is supporting itself, working within itself, and getting away from the grid, to me, that's an ideal situation because that's really how we're designed to interact with each other. And that, like I said, has been taken away from us. We could talk about that for hours. We could talk about that for hours, Chuck, what they have done to separate us as a human race.
Well, right, this is the thing. It has been done by design. Look, we all understand what the idea of divide and conquer is, but, you know, the more you utilize the razor blade to separate the mass, eventually you're going to get down to the single grain. And now we've gotten to that point where individuals have been given this idea that they are islands unto themselves. You know, they're stuck in believing that their friendships are just online and that's all there is. I mean, and I'm not talking about people that, like you and I, we communicate with each other because there's a distance between us. Okay, I'm talking about there are people in their neighborhoods that they're communicating with that they never actually put their gaze on. You know what I mean? That they never actually speak to verbally. That they just simply, you know, what, thumbs up and thumbs down on certain websites. You know, a like, or now there's more options. Like it, love it, be mad at it on Facebook. This is how they're dealing with their social interactions anymore. A lot of people. And look, the internet's a great tool, but just like most great tools, it can be utilized for good purposes or bad. And one of the worst things that it's been utilized to do is to separate people from their fellow human being. And that to me drives me crazy. You're right. Even in the worst of the worst places, at least people knew each other, and this gave them some modicum of protection from outsiders or even troublemakers within. You kind of knew who might be a troublemaker because you were aware, you were socialized. I'm not saying that people should label each other this way, but the fact is that sometimes you're going to have people in a community that aren't necessarily on point with the agreement of similar morality and stuff like that. And you know who those people are, you know. This guy, he's going to be walking around saying crazy stuff because he drinks all the time, right? That used to be a typical thing in my neighborhoods when I was growing up, is we knew who the drunks were, right? And when they were drunk, you avoided them. Pretty simple, but you had that knowledge because you were aware. And again, you know, in poor neighborhoods, in middle-class neighborhoods, I don't know about rich neighborhoods because I never got to go there. But, you know, but the reality is on many different economic shades of existence, let's say, this was the reality. Now, yep. We had telephones, sure, and all that, and okay, maybe I'm sounding like an old man going, in the old days, it was better, but no. I'm not saying that we have to go back to the loss of technology. We don't have to do that. We can still keep it. We can still utilize it, but don't make it the whole of your existence, for God's sake. Well, you know, that's the message I try and put out, which sounds funny. Because, of course, I want you to listen to my show all the time and follow my stuff. But don't make it your whole life, man. There's a lot more to it, you know?
Well, you know, well, when I was growing up, Chuck, you know what we did for entertainment? We didn't have games. We didn't communicate electronically. We went out and played cops and robbers, cowboys and Indians. We were always running down to the river to find snakes to chase the girls with. We were always getting into trouble. But my whole life, I grew up interacting with my neighbors and my friends and all the buddies in my neighborhood. It was, and I look at what's going on with people today, the young people. Their whole lives are focused around their device they carry in their hands. I mean, you can go to a party and you can have 30 young people there, and they won't be talking to each other. They'll be talking to each other on their phones. I go, wait a second, whatever happened to interacting? And that's something that's really, really important with young people, is they interact. And that's been taken away from our young people, and hence we see all kinds of behavioral problems. We see all kinds of social problems coming up in our society. Well, people don't interact the way they used to, Chuck, and that's been taken out of our society. And I believe that's been done by design over a long period of time.
And it removed a lot of stuff from us as a people. Rites of passage, you know, the reality of masculinity, to tell you the truth, has been, you know, quite a bit castrated, okay, mm-hmm. over mm-hmm. time. I was reminiscing recently with somebody, and we were sitting there speaking fondly of sticks and stones, my friends. Why mm-hmm. of sticks and stones? Well, of course, we know the old adage, sticks and stones will break my bones and all that. But mm-hmm. no, that's not why we were reminiscing. You know, in a poor place, okay, again, when all else failed, when there were no collective games or organizations, I'm telling you right now, little boys would literally go after each other with sticks and stones.
Well, yeah, we did, okay. Chuck.
And
we did.
Well, I know, but this is part of the unreal now, you know, because God help us, you'd have to sue your neighbor for clocking you with a stone, and the parents would get involved in legal actions now with each other over the stuff we used to do to each other on a daily basis, which was part of our upbringing, part of our rite of passage. I'm not saying that violence is a preferable thing. It wasn't really violence. It was just rough play, you know. We were kids, and it required imagination, too.
Yeah, and we were allowed to grow up as kids.
That's right.
They're not allowed to, you can't go out and play cops and robbers anymore. That's not politically correct. And you can't play, you just can't do that. And you can't go tobogganing. Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. I mean, my God, kids can't be kids anymore. They're stuck in a matrix. And that's got to change, guys. Because you know what, Chuck? I reflect on the way I was raised and the fun I had as a kid, and I look at what kids do today. They don't get into physical activity. They sit in their houses. They sit in front of their TVs. Well, you know, we didn't do that growing up, and I grew up a pretty healthy child. But today I see the opposite. So it's like I said, it's all by design. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, and you were eating dirt, getting scratched and scraped. You were, you know, this is what you were doing.
Yeah, it was fun, man.
Yeah, and you know what? You survived. You survived.
If we weren't getting into trouble, Chuck, it was no fun. You know what I mean? Go ahead.
You see, okay, so you and I could have hung out as kids. But, you know, that was the reality of the situation. All of that is gone. Yes, I understand that, you know, we should evolve and all of that. And I do, and I'm a peaceful person. I really am. So I'm not about the violence. I'm not even sitting here saying that this is good because some of that was violent and all of that. But what I'm saying is it provided a dynamic for interaction between yourself and others. Right. You knew how far you could take certain things, and occasionally somebody would take it too far. You developed an understanding between each other. You know what I mean? There weren't many, you know, occasionally there'd be a kid that would run to their mommy, right? But that would be about it, you know. It would generally get resolved. And even if there was a dispute between parents, they'd resolve it between themselves. You know, stuff
you'd have a parent meeting. And they discuss it, and it was rectified. Go ahead, Chuck. You're right.
Yeah. No, there wasn't charges being filed and lawsuits coming out and, you know, and new laws being passed in the town. I mean, come on, folks. How about we get back to, again, handling things ourselves, right? You know, actually interacting with one another. I encourage this all the time, and it does crack me up. You're right. The whole surrogate reality. Parents complain that their kids won't leave the house, but that's where their PlayStation is, man. What do you want them to do?
What are we going to do if we don't? Yeah, what are we going to do outside, man? What do you do outside? Walk to the store and get another game for your Game Boy. We can go chase monsters. We can go chase Pokemon monsters. The only good thing about that Pokemon monsters, I heard it from lots of people, they're out running around all over the place, so I guess they're getting their exercise now, Chuck, but what a joke that is. Go ahead.
Yeah, but not paying attention to the cars, which we were extremely mindful of.
Or trespassing or breaking laws. It's all good because it's a game, and we got to get them monsters, man.
Got to catch them all. Joke.
Oh, you got 30-year-old grown adults chasing monsters in parks, you know? Hundreds of them, not just a few hundreds, man. Well, I'll tell you, Chuck, that's MK Ultra mind control at its finest, buddy.
Well, it sure is. And, you know, look, again, entertainment's entertainment, and I understand that. Sometimes I am a victim of looking at entertainment and breaking it down and realizing all the propaganda which is built in and exactly how far Hollywood took it and what part of the agenda is now being normalized, you know, and I do that. But sometimes, you know, you can be entertained as well. Just don't become so immersed in something which is not part of your reality that it becomes your reality. I you know, I'm a bad guy for saying this to some people, apparently. But again, you know, I'll take it. It's fine because I know it needs to be said. And again, sounds weird because, look, if you want to go and download my stuff all day and listen to it, I should be way happier about it, right? And by the way, do this. And do, but no, man. No. I would rather see people be people. You know, I'd rather see human beings, human individuals, be the individual person that they are, not drugged, not dumbed down, not trapped in surrogate realities, not being poisoned to death incrementally by the grand panopticon of poisons, not being taken over by all the psych warfare and the pre-programmed idiocy that's being thrust upon them by the mainstream. Yeah, I guess I am really a bad guy, Barry. So say hello to the bad guy.
Well, I think you just described the world we live in to a T, Chuck. You know, something that happened to me here yesterday is I was into a tire shop, and I was talking to a 25-year-old kid, and he was telling me about all the physical problems he's having in his body. And I'm going, well, what do you think's causing all these physical problems? And it really amazed me at the answers he came. He said, it's all the poisons, everything they're doing, our vaccines, our fluoride, everything. And it amazed me that he was aware of it, yet he really hadn't done too much to offset what he feels in his body. Our whole world right now is under attack. I see cancer going right through the roof. I see all physical disorders going through the roof. We're becoming sicker and sicker as a human race. And, of course, a sick human race cannot identify and fight against the enemies that are truly our enemies, Chuck. So what I think we really have to do as a human race is we've got to get back. We have to study history, for one. We have to really understand what is happening to us and why it's happening to us, where the attacks are coming from, identify the enemy, and attack the enemy for what it is. The enemy's right there in front of you guys, and the government is not your friend. If you think the government's your friend, I've got your head in the sand. We as a people, Chuck, I see us at a pinnacle right now where we have to make real hard decisions as a race, because we see all these things happening around us. We see our planet dying. We see our health deteriorating at incredible rates. We see cancer going through the roof. We see all these things going on around us. We have to wake up as a human race and identify them. And some of the things we talked about tonight, buddy, are spot on. Spot on.
Well, you know, here we go just with bullet points off the cuff, and hey, there's been a lot of points made. But by all means, anybody who's listening to what we're talking about and really doesn't think that that this makes much sense, or maybe Barry's way off on certain things, or I'm just a crazy man who likes to hear his own voice, you know, do yourselves a favor. Examine it for yourselves, and please tell me I'm wrong. Actually, that's what I want. In fact, I would love for somebody to show up and tell me that I'm wrong about every single thing I just said tonight and present me with the proof of, you know, of a better world that's really unfolding around us and not being, you know, fooled by the illusions, right?
Yeah.
The actual solid proof of it. I would love to see it.
Me too, Chuck. But you know what? I've come to the conclusion here in the last 8 years of my life, when I really had my eyes opened up about 8 years ago, that what I'm seeing is true, that the events that are going to come are going to come. And we really, like I said, as a human race, we have to identify the enemy. And it's very difficult to do in a society that's divided, doped down, and physically attacked like our society is. It's all been done by purpose, guys. It's all been done by design to get us to this particular point in human history. So I hope we're wrong, Chuck. I really do. I hope that I'm right off the wall on everything I think. And like I said, I'd love somebody to get in here and show me that everything I see and feel is wrong. I would love that, because I would love to be wrong about this. But I don't think we are, Chuck. I don't think we are at all. I know that we both have done many, many years of research, and like you said, to a common person that's incorporated into the system, we probably do sound a little crazy, but I assure you that we're not.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I'm crazy.
Well, not in my book. How about that? Okay. I don't know if that
counts. That's good to hear. At least one person thinks I'm sane. Because I wonder some days, Chuck. I really do. I wake up and go, wow, are we really living in the world that we're living in? And, yeah, we are. We are.
Well, yeah, unfortunately. And but look, it doesn't mean that we need to embrace doom at any point in time. It doesn't mean that we need to surrender to the seemingly insurmountable odds stacked against us. I also believe that we can turn this around. Now, there are many different solutions. There are many different possibilities. And really, honestly, we can change the trajectory collectively with the next choice we make. You know, every single moment in one's life you have the opportunity to make a choice, right? And that choice could be the thing that changes it today and for the rest of time, for you and for everybody else, if we just come around to it. And look, that's what the exploration is about during these discussions, in my opinion. That's why I do what I do, is to try and find the things that will turn the tide the other way. Not necessarily that I'm going to be the one to do it, but I'm more than happy to be a voice, in the chorus of voices that can drown out those who have bought these big establishments to amplify their voices. I think that as a chorus collectively, we can drown them out and make this a harmonious place once again to live, not just for us, but for the generations that will inherit what we leave behind. And and we talk about that all the time, you and I. And, you know, it's not just about necessarily my children, although I do have them. It's not necessarily about your children, although you have them, Barry. But the reality is it's about all of the children. It's about all of what is going to be after we depart, because we do have a limited time here. And, you know, even if I fail, damn it, I'm going to try to affect a positive change.
Amen.
One way or another.
Do that, Chuck. Me, you know what, buddy, I feel the same way. You know, I've said this many times, the legacy of a man is what he leaves behind for the next generation. And I sit here days and days and days, and I look at everything that's going on to our world, everything that's happening to our health, to our education system, to every aspect of life seems to be negative. And we have to turn it around for our children, for the children to come, because we're leaving them a pile of poop, Chuck, that they do not deserve to deal with. So if I can do anything with a little bit of common sense, cause that's all I really feel I have in life, is some common sense approach to things. We need to come up with solutions, and we need to come up with them fast. We need to do it collectively, or it's a pile of poop that we're leaving for the kids. I don't know if they're going to be able to find their way out of it, Chuck. So I hope that this makes some sense to some people, because to me, the most important thing to me is my children and the future of them and the future of all children on this planet, because we were given an abundant world to live on. I mean, I've been on this planet for 62 years. I've enjoyed the abundance that this planet has offered. I've really enjoyed good parts of my life. I've been exposed to nature and just incredible events, and now I see it all being taken away, and that scares me to death, guys. So I think it's really time that we all look in the mirror, Chuck. We have
to. Absolutely. Yeah. And as always, you know, you can recognize the darkness coming, but you don't have to submit to it.
Exactly. There is answers, Chuck.
That's it.
And
that's
we'll
it.
Touch, you know what, in the next couple, 3 weeks, I'm going to try and provide lots of solutions to problems, because it is a dark world out there, but there is solutions, guys. It's not all gloom and doom. But I think our time is short to grab the solutions and run with them. So I'll leave it at that for this week. The show has come to an end. Before I leave tonight, two really good friends of mine, Rick and Annie from Shake and Wake. Well, Rick is very sick right now, guys. So anybody out there that believes in the power of prayers and would like to say a little prayer for Rick, I urge you to do so. They are the founders of Shake and Wake and very good friends of mine, and he's not doing well, guys. So please say a little prayer for Rick over at Shake and Wake. And, Chuck, I want you to come back again real soon. Thanks for joining me tonight, buddy. I really, really enjoy talking with you, and it's been a lively conversation. And with that, I'll let you say a last word, Chuck, and then I'm going to close the show out.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, Barry. Of course, I do my own thing, and you guys can find me on the Internet with the word Ochelli, O-C-H-E-L-L-I. I have a .com, and you can find me there. But I wasn't really coming on here to promote anything tonight. Of course, you know, your support, your looking into what it is I'm presenting is always appreciated. But the fact is that I just came on here to talk to my friend Barry, who is one of the most sane and real men that I have encountered in alternative media, for sure. But really, in my time in recent years, I can't think of many a better person to listen to. And I love this guy. And, of course, I am also praying for Rick and Annie. I talked to Annie earlier, and I encourage you guys to follow Barry's direction about that as well. Thanks, Barry.
Okay, Chuck, thanks for the kind words, buddy, and we'll be talking again real soon. And thanks, folks, for tuning in tonight. And I know the first hour was a bit of a schmozzle, but kind of threw me for a little bit of loop and kind of got me off a bit. But next week, I'm going to be joined in the first hour by Dana Dunford and the second hour by Dr. Helen Kellicott. And then the following week, I got Ty Bollinger coming on. So look forward to seeing you guys next week, same time, same place. And thanks for tuning in and giving us some time. Bye.